Rob has asked a number of us to jump into the hot potato series over the next few months. So I'm up today. I think Corey's up next month, and Ray, you're up in 2 months. Is that right? So looking forward to just an opportunity to share with you a little bit in these series. If you remember, I don't know if you were here, I think it was the last Sunday of December, Rob, last hot potato series that he did was entitled, What's Prayer and How Does It Work? How many of you were here? Or how many of you remember being here? It was right after Christmas, I know. Rob highlighted in his sermon that Sunday, and I went through my notes. I took some notes because I knew I was going to be potentially preaching and following up on that series. So I took some pretty good notes, and he highlighted a number of times in that series, or in that sermon, that prayer is, and he used the word dialogue. Prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is something that is both us speaking to God and what? Listening to God. Hearing God. It's a two-way communication. And at the end of the sermon, I don't know if you remember this, but Rob led us through a listening prayer exercise where we were to write down things that we sensed God was saying to us. But as I was listening that morning and participating in that exercise, I have to admit, there was some questions that were rattling around in my little brain. And part of, or one of those questions was simply, what does listening to God really mean? What does it look like? And then about 2 weeks ago, Rob led us at the end of his sermon in another exercise. If you were here, we got to stand up, and then we got to move two rows back. And we were asked some questions and reflected, and we got to move back to our seats, and we got to move two rows forward, and then we turned around, I think, and we looked, and we were asked, and we were asked to write down things that we were sensing God was saying to us. And in both of those exercises, the assumption was that God would speak to us. That second part of prayer. We speak to God, God speaks back to us. But I suspect that some of us may wonder, what does that mean? Or we may even wonder, does God speak to us? Maybe we had that question come to mind as during both those exercises, there might have been some of us that came to the end of that exercise or those exercises and said, yeah, I got nothing. Like, God was supposed to speak and my page is blank. I haven't written down anything. That happens to me in my life sometimes. God speaking, it's like, nothing. And I wonder why that happens. And so this morning I want to focus our sermon a little bit on that side of, so it's sort of hot potato topic, God, do you preach, or what does prayer mean and what does it look like? Part two, does God really speak to me? And let's pray as we begin. Lord, our request this morning has already been said by Dan. It's simple. We do want you to speak to us as we hear your word. That's our prayer every Sunday. The Sunday sermon, the Sunday worship, all that we do here at church on Sundays isn't about the people up front. It's about you and us worshiping you and you speaking back into our hearts and into our lives. And so that is our request this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. I just said that we wanted to hear from God. I'm not sure how comfortable all of you are with that idea. I'm not sure how real that is in your life on a regular basis. I believe that in our society in which we live, the idea of hearing from God isn't really readily accepted. About a year ago, one of my favorite TV shows, actually, no, I hardly ever watch this show. It's called The View. Any of you watch it? Any of you can admit it? I think one of the hosts, I think her name is Joy Behar. And she seemed to be somewhat upset. They were talking about the U.S. politics, as they always do, and they were talking about Vice President Pence saying that he heard from God. Take a listen. 40-second clip. Listen carefully.
But I don't know that I want my vice president, speaking in tongues and having Jesus speak to
me. Like I said before, I don't know if I want that.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
That's different.
Illness, if I'm not correct,
but I think,
hearing voices.
You know, Joy, as a Christian, that's just par for the course. You talk to Jesus, Jesus talks back. What concerns me is how long is the conversation
but Jesus
with
is
Jesus?
Telling him to say things.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. You know, if you talking to, you know, because I asked Jesus for a parking space.
Can he talk?
All right. Did you hear that? If you talk to Jesus and Jesus talks back to you, you are what? You're mentally ill. It's what a lot of our friends think who don't follow Jesus. Maybe some of us even struggle with that. What does it really, like, Jesus is talking to me. What does that sound like? I wonder, and I won't do that this morning, but I wonder what it would look like from up here if I would simply say to you, okay, now take 20 seconds, turn to each other quickly, and tell the last time you heard from Jesus. Like, some of you might turn right away and start talking. Others of you might go, what do you mean, Doug? Heard from Jesus. Tell me more. What do you want? And some of you might have a hard time thinking about an experience where you say, I actually genuinely feel I heard from Jesus. But even if we may struggle with understanding that, and if we struggle with knowing how that often works, I believe the reality is that as followers of Jesus, we do want to hear from our God. Think about the past week as you have prayed about certain things in your life. I suspect there have been many of us this morning who are here that have prayed in such a way that we desperately want to hear from God. Think about our church. After Rob's announcement last week of him resigning, and as a church, we're now in a position of transition, and Rob's now in a position of transition, what are the implications of that for us? We desperately want to hear from our God. Those times in our lives where we make big decisions, where we're wondering about buying a home, or whether we're wondering about making a move, or whether we're wondering about changing job, we desperately want to hear from God. Does that sound right? Have you been there? Been times in your lives, maybe right now, where you say, I desperately, whatever it is in my life, I desperately want to hear from God. And yet some of us may be thinking, got nothing. Not sure I'm hearing anything. And not only is it true that as followers of Jesus, I believe we desperately want to hear from God often in our lives. I believe that the reciprocal is also true. I believe that God wants his followers to hear from him and respond. And I think we can see that over and over and over again in Scripture. But I want to look at Isaiah chapter 30 this morning briefly. And so as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 30, let me give you a bit of the context there for you. And you have your Bibles, or you have your phones or whatever, take a look at Isaiah chapter. We're going to read a number of sections. I think they're going to mostly be up on the screen as well. In Isaiah chapter 30, the people of Israel are in trouble. They're being threatened by the Assyrians. And it appears that although God has a plan for them, how to rescue them, it appears that they don't want to listen to God. Stupid people. We're in trouble, but we don't want to hear you. God, not, please. The people were not listening to God. Instead, they were doing their own thing. In verses 1 to 18, and we won't take time to read that specifically, but if you look in verses 1 to 18, it describes the people of Israel. And in verse 1 starts off by saying they were obstinate people. I looked up the definition. Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade one to do so. Stupid people. These are people who were making their own plans based on human wisdom. These were people who were doing what they wanted and going where they wanted to go and looking for help where they wanted to find help, but they didn't want it from God. And they actually said that they didn't want to hear what God had to say. If you look at verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah chapter 30, let me read those verses to you. They say to their seers, "See no more visions," and to the prophets, "Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." Yeah, we don't want those hard things that God is saying to us. Just tell us pleasant things. Don't listen to God, just tell us nice things. Stupid people. Let me just point out here, though. Maybe they're not the only ones. Maybe sometimes we are obstinate people. Maybe sometimes we don't want to hear what God is saying to us. So maybe they're not alone. Despite the attitude of the obstinate people, in verse 18, God shows who he is. Take a look. Let me pick up on verse 18. "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, as we just sung, he will rise up and show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him." Verse 18 shows that God is a God who is graciously, compassionately waiting for his people to start waiting for him. God is revealing himself as a God who, despite what the people have done, is a God who is waiting for his followers to hear him and respond. Think about this point, that God, even though these people were obstinate, even though they didn't want to hear from him, God graciously waits. And then it describes for us what life would be like if they would only listen and respond. And let me read verses 19 to 22. "People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Oh, the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Your teachers will be hidden no more, and your eyes will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Then you will desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and the images covered with gold, and you will throw them away like menstrual cloth and say to them, 'Away with you.'" We truly have an amazing God. We have a God who, even to an obstinate people, a God who is waiting for his people and wants to talk to them, wants to respond to them. And even as obstinate people, God is waiting for his people to start waiting on him, waiting for them to start hearing him, waiting so that he can answer them. And in the middle of the passage that I just read, there is a beautiful promise that I want to focus on. I want to read verses 20 and 21 again, specifically focusing on 21. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more, and with your eyes you will see them. And then listen to this. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear the voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." This is about a significant promise that we can get from our God. We as God's people will hear his voice. A friend of mine by the name of Steve Clausen, there's many Steve Clausen, so it's not Crossroads Steve Clausen. It's an Abbotsford Steve Clausen. I know at least two Steve Clausens in Abbotsford, but this is the one that runs the Mark Center. And has written a little book called Your Ears Will Hear. And he makes three comments about this particular verse. They are this. He said, the promise in these verses is threefold. The promise is first personal. Your ears will hear. You. The your includes all of us. Your ears, it's a personal thing. The promise is certain. Your ears will hear. Not your ears might hear if you live right. Your ears might hear if you do the right things. Your ears will hear. We are all created with the ability to hear from our God. God's speaking to us, and God desires us to hear from Him. And the promise is not only personal, it's not only certain, it's also specific. Your ears will hear. This is the way. Walk in it. It implies direction. If I hear, your ears will hear, this is the way, walk in it. To me, that also implies day-to-day, everyday, practical stuff that we're going to hear from our God. So newsflash to the ladies on The View. God does care for us, individually, personally, and does speak to us, and wants us to hear Him. And as I spent time reflecting on that verse, the idea of the voice being behind me, whether I turn to the right or the left, just was so encouraging to me. Think about that for a moment. No matter where you go, whether you turn to the right or to the left, no matter what choices I make that leads me to turn to the right or to the left, maybe even bad choices. As I'm going through life, my God is just over my shoulder, following along and speaking. Right behind me, whispering into my ear, this is the way you should go. Walk in it. It's the image that we sang about and read about in Psalm 23. It's the image of the shepherd who leads while walking behind and talking to his sheep. It's the image of Jesus, the good shepherd, in John chapter 10, verse 27, where he says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Our God wants, and He longs for His followers to hear and respond. And I realize, I want to clarify something, or at least try to explain something, that it almost sounds like this voice that we should hear is audible. And sometimes people say, I don't hear audible voices from God. Join my club. Okay? I can say probably once or twice in my life where I would say maybe I heard an audible voice. But most of the time it's not like, thus saith the Lord, I'm speaking to you now, Doug. Listen and pay attention. No, it's not that kind of thing. So how does God speak to us? Well, I think there's many ways that God speaks, but let me highlight the three main ones that I think I see in Scripture. Simply, I think God speaks through Scripture, through His Word, as we read it, as we are encouraged by it, as we get things out of it and say, I've never seen that before. That applies to my situation right now. That is God speaking to us through His Word. I think God speaks to us through His Spirit. And in Scripture, we have all kinds of accounts of things like dreams and inner senses and insights and promptings. And the reality is that God's Spirit lives in us as His children. And God's Spirit is at work in our lives. And I think part of that work is that God is speaking to us and wants to nudge us and wants to say things to us. And that's God working. And so this morning, as Dan was leading us, and we read Psalm 23, and he asks us to reflect as he sang the song and to hear what God was saying. That was God's Spirit. It wasn't the song singing to us. It wasn't Dan's great voice that was speaking to us, although he has a great voice. It was the Spirit using what he was doing to speak to us. And I think the third way that God speaks is very clearly through his people, through community. the community, the church that we are a part of, is an important part of how God communicates to us. And I want to simply say that none of those three things, his word, the spirit, community, are ever at odds with each other. They're not independent of each other. God will not say through his spirit to you, I think God is saying to me, it's okay to, when his word says, it's not okay to. I'm amazed when I was pastoring how many times people would come to me, and Rob, you probably had this experience, and Ray, when people come to you and say, well, I think God has said it's okay for me to sin. No, it's not God. Well, I've had good friends in the community tell me it's okay to. Well, they're wrong. So we need to bring those three together. And nothing will ever contradict what God says to us in his word. So our God wants and longs for his followers to hear him through scripture, through his spirit, through community. And not only to hear him, but he wants us to respond. You may be listening this morning, you may be saying, Doug, I get it, God wants to speak. I hear what you're saying, God wants us to hear and to respond. But in my own life, Doug, I don't seem to do that all that regularly or clearly. I don't hear from God. And sometimes we would say, if we're really honest, we'd have to admit that our hearing isn't so good. I'd admit that in my life sometimes. There's a longing. There's a sense that we're missing something. But we have to admit our hearing isn't so good. I've had many conversations with people over the years about this idea of listening to God, and people seem to struggle with it. And usually the conversation, when I'm having a coffee with someone, the conversation usually ends up something like this, when the person doesn't know where else to go. Well, I guess I'm just an ordinary Christian, and ordinary people don't really hear from God like they did in the Bible. There's something different about me. I'm not supernatural or super spiritual enough. And they're really saying, if I admit and if I'm honest, my hearing isn't that good. So let me ask this, if there's a desire in our hearts to hear from God, and if God says, I want you to hear from me, and if we're saying, but if we're really honest, our hearing isn't that good, let me ask, why is that the case? I suspect there's a number of answers. Let me give you three possible ones really quickly. I think sometimes we've simply forgotten that God actually wants to speak to us, and we've stopped hearing, stopped even trying. We've assumed it's not for us. We've assumed it's for other people. We've assumed that we're not spiritual enough. We've assumed whatever we've assumed, and we've just stopped even trying to listen to our God. Sometimes perhaps it's because we intentionally choose not to listen to God, just like the people of Israel. We don't want to hear. We're scared maybe for what we're going to hear from God, and we say, and this one is better not to listen to him. But I wonder if maybe it's something else in many of our lives. And I think this is probably true in my life. My dad passed away probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I lose track of time. He was 93 years old. And the last number of years of his life, he really could only hear in one ear. Nothing in the one ear, sort of heard in the other ear, had a hearing aid. That really helped him. And we always appreciated that, because in the last years, his health deteriorated greatly, and he basically sat in his chair at home. And we would come and visit, and even though his health had deteriorated, we could have some great conversations because he was mentally alert. And then one morning, probably about a year before he passed away, maybe a little longer, he woke up one morning, and much to his surprise and our surprise, he'd lost the hearing in his good ear. Well, good ear. The one that had the hearing aid. And everything was just muffled to the point where he couldn't really understand anything. And we took him to the hearing aid place, and they looked at the hearing aid and looked, adjusted the hearing aid, nothing, just didn't help. And we were kind of discouraged, and he was discouraged, because that was a significant part of our relationship with him at that point. And then finally we were able to get him into the appointment with his family doctor, and the doctor, you know, did some tests and looked into his ear, and suddenly he walked over to the drawer and opened it up and pulled out a little, fairly long tweezers, reached down into his ear canal, slowly pulled a big chunk of earwax that had been in the canal. And Dad said, I can hear better than I have for years. It was a miracle. Praise the Lord. And I guess my dad's hygiene, for his ear at least, wasn't all that good. And slowly, the earwax had built up, and then that night that he lost his hearing, it must have dislodged or something and sort of dropped down into, and so everything was muffled, and because he had bad hearing to begin with, it just... wonder if we have spiritual earwax that builds up in our lives. Wonder if there's little things that in and of themselves don't seem all that significant. But when you build that little thing on top of another little thing on top of another little thing on top of another little thing, it desensitizes us to God. And it competes for God and for his trust and for his relevance in our lives. The earwax of the people of Israel, according to verse 12 in our passage, I won't read it, but was that they rejected God's message. They relied on oppression and they depended on deceit. What might it be in our lives that is hindering us from hearing God, responding? Little things. Perhaps things that are distracting us from spending time in God's word. Perhaps a bad attitude that we have towards someone in our community, so we're not using our community to hear from God. Perhaps subtle ongoing choices that to ignore the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The good news this morning. The good news for us is the same good news that Isaiah gave the people of Israel. Listening to God and responding is not just for super spiritual people. Listening to God is for all of us, and he is waiting for us. And he is gracious and compassionate, and he wants to see and to us to see him and to understand him, and he wants to walk with us whether we turn to the right or to the left. And God is still saying to each of us, this is the way. Walk in it. And so as we conclude this morning, let me suggest four simple things as a way of response. First, maybe we need to evaluate. What is it in our life that may be hindering us from hearing and responding to our God? Is there spiritual earwax that has been slowly building up? Let me encourage us to ask God to reveal that to us. Maybe he can be like the doctor with my dad and sort of take the tweezer and help us. Let me encourage us, secondly, to recommit to the practice of intentionally listening to God and paying attention to what he is saying to you. If you try this and you struggle to hear anything, don't give up. Keep trying. Keep praying and asking God's Spirit to speak. Talk to close friends in God's community. Continue to read his word and test what you think you are hearing. It is a skill that needs to be developed. Thirdly, give thanks. Give thanks for how you have been hearing God, how he has been speaking to you, and what he has been doing in your life. Don't ever take that for granted. Be encouraged by that. And then finally, just listen to what God is saying to you right now. Determine how you might need to respond. Let me pray with us as we close.